Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, let's see. Yesterday we were out at the Carolina Panthers construction site, boiling in 100-degree temperatures. Inside, we're here at the nice, cool Substation 2, and our topics are not construction at all. Well, maybe so, except this is word construction. This is not physical construction. We're going to be talking with Rock Hill's poet laureate, Angelo Jeter, as soon as he gets here. He has a reputation of being late. And the brand-new youth poet laureate for Rock Hill, Alexandra Arotas. And she is with us, and she said, I don't need to have Jeter here. I can do this all by myself. Is that right? That's what you told me.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
All right. All right. So, Alex, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. I'm a rising senior at the Governor's School for the Arts and Humanities. I transferred from Northwestern High School. At Governor's School, I'm centered in creative writing. I'm passionate about women's rights, LGBTQ rights, the environment, mental health awareness, and body positivity. I love to read. I love hiking and being in nature. I love writing, obviously, yeah. And I'm a big animal person as well.
Good for you. So now you have to tell me a little bit about the Governor's School, because I am not familiar with it.
Okay.
Tell me about it. Where is it? Here?
It's in Greenville, 2 hours away. Yep.
All right.
So it's a basically boarding school for the arts.
Okay.
So I live there during the year on campus in a dorm.
Okay.
It's basically college, but for junior and seniors.
Good for you. So you, like you say, it's like going to college except it's high school. Have you been there for 1 year, 2 years?
So I'm going into my senior year. So I was there junior year, but for most of it, I was virtual. I moved in March, but I went there for the summer programs for 2 years. So I was also there for creative writing during the summer.
How about that? Mm-hmm. So how does one get an opportunity to go to the Governor's School? You had to do something pretty good, huh?
So they have a program for visual arts, dance, voice, music students, creative writing, and then drama.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to apply through your art area. And, like, for me, I had to have a certain amount of poems, and then I would get called for a callback, and I had to do, like, a writing workshop, and I had to do an interview with the teachers there. So, but it's different for each art area.
And that's something. So you took this on a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then you get accepted, and you have to stay at home and do everything virtually?
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer, because it's actually been my dream since I was 8 years old to go there.
Really?
So it's something that I've kind of been working towards for most of my life, and then making it virtual was really difficult. But I got there eventually.
Good for you. Well, proud of you. That's quite something too. To have a vision when you're 8 years of age, and to fulfill it, you're what, 17? How old are you?
I'm 17, turning 18 in November.
Wow. Whole 18 years of age.
Yeah, woo! I don't want to think about it.
You know, it's hard to believe that I used to be 18 years of age. I won't tell you how many decades ago, but I used to be 18 years of age. And your mother used to be 18 years of age. So you'll turn out okay. So how did this poetry thing all come about? I mean, did you just wake up one day and say, I love words and putting them together in different forms? I mean, how does that happen?
So we've been through some trauma, and we've been through some bad stuff. And my mom told me, I was in a really bad place, and I was diagnosed with depression, and I was really struggling. And my mom told me to sit down and start, basically every day we had to come up with a positive for each day. And it was, like, so bad to the point that we couldn't even come up with a positive for, like, a week. Wow. And so we really had to work for it. And then it ended up where, I mean, I've always been a reader. I've read, like, we had to move myself into a new room because I have so many books. It's not even an exaggeration, but I've always loved to read, and so writing eventually came about from writing down positives. And I, like I said, I love being in nature, so I write about the things I see in the world, and that just, it's something that I've always been passionate about, and something that I found through something that was really dark turned into a really bright positive.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So what kinds of books do you like to read? Are you fiction, nonfiction, or are you...
I love reading fiction. I love reading apocalyptic fiction, and I have, like, some favorite authors that I like reading where they write a typical style, but fiction, poetry, collections, all that good stuff.
Isn't that something? So when did you, first find yourself putting together words that became poetry?
Probably in, like, seventh grade was when I started writing poetry, I would say.
Did you just, pick up a pen one day and all of a sudden the stars flow out of your fingers? Or did you actually consciously think about it?
Kind of. It was like one day I wrote a poem and then it kind of became what I was doing. So
Do you by chance still have that?
I do, actually. Somewhere I have, like, that slip of paper. It's in a folder because I made sure to put it in a folder when I found it a few years ago.
Don't lose it. You need to frame that thing and put it on the wall and say, this is where it all started. And that was you were 7 years old when you did that?
I was in seventh grade.
Seventh grade, which mm-hmm. would have made you what, 13, 14?
It was about that. Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So over the years, what you first did in seventh grade mm-hmm. has now morphed into what you're doing as a senior. Is that right?
Yes.
And you find your style has changed radically since you started all this?
Yes, it's actually weird. I'm definitely more of, I definitely am more comfortable writing fiction, which is weird because I'm the youth poet laureate. I love poetry, but definitely fiction is where my strong suit, I would say. But I also love writing poetry, and it's definitely morphed because as I've been at Governor's School and as I've gotten older, I've learned about the different kinds of writing, and I found writing in a lot of places that I didn't even know you could find it in. So, yeah.
Good for you. Well, look who just popped in from across. You know, it's Angelo. I'm going to be late. That's my poem for today. See.
That's been true for, like, the past two things too. So I guess. So.
Yeah. Well, Angelo, in all fairness, was over at Winthrop University.
Yes, sir.
Somebody called a meeting. How dare them.
Right, you know.
Just prior to the beginning of Straight Talk.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
You got over here.
I made it happen some kind
did
of
way. Did you sweat buckets walking across the street?
I did.
It's hot. It's hot out there.
Can't
I
tell
feel
right
like
now,
I'm
but...
underdressed. Y'all are both in suits.
Shoot. So, Angelo.
Yes, sir.
You've been on the program before.
For sure.
When you see somebody like this.
Yeah.
Just come out of the, out of the bushes,
right,
starting
right.
to write poetry. Does this ring bells with you? I mean, is this how you kind of got started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I talked about it before when I was on this program, but middle school for me was when I started writing as well. So she mentioned seventh grade. I think it was sixth grade for me. And that's when I just remember having a teacher that just really exposed us to it and just say, write what you feel, you know. And so as like a sixth grader, a lot of people didn't ask me how I felt about stuff. You know, all these adults are telling you what to do instead of asking what I want to do. So it made me feel very free and very open, you know. And so I've been kind of chasing that ever since. But I will say I wasn't as good as Alex is at this age. It took me a while to get to be pretty decent.
Well, Alex was telling us that because of her personal experiences and problems that she had to go through in her younger years,
sure.
mm-hmm. that just kind of spurred her, you know, as a way to get out of that darkness, to start thinking positive, writing words, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Is that pretty much the kind of path that a lot of people who are very creative find themselves going through? I mean, I don't know what, I've forgotten what your story is.
Yeah.
How it got started for you.
Yeah, I think, to answer your first part of your question, absolutely. I think a lot of times when you hear people write poetry, their first poem is usually a love poem, or it's like a really, you know, traumatic or very personal experience that just needed to get it out, right?
And so, right.
For me, it wasn't a love poem or that either, but it was just feeling like I had something to say. Right, and feeling like it was important. And so I don't remember. I know the poem was about a butterfly. I don't remember what else, but I remember that. But it's definitely a freeing thing. So yeah, it's not uncommon at all that, you know, she would feel that as an outlet to be therapy in a way, right? To really express herself and get those things and feelings out. So
Alex, you're in the governor's school.
Yes.
And you're actually going to go to school this year. You're actually physically going to be there. Let's hope this pandemic, the
right.
resurgence doesn't
right.
doesn't skew that all up. But I gather there are people at the governor's school, as you say, they have, you're learning about all kinds of writing styles. Mm-hmm. But are there poets there that can critique what you're doing and suggest this and that as a way to get better?
Yes. I actually, when I'm there, I take nonfiction, fiction, and poetry. And then we do intensives. So last year I took screenwriting and nature writing as well. And each teacher has published work. So there are critiques, and they give us feedback on our work and all that good stuff.
So. Huh. Mm-hmm. So when you get those kinds of influences, does it change your style, or does it change your subject matter, or what do you find?
I think definitely. My fiction teacher this year, Alan Rossi, he's the department chair at Governor's School for Creative Writing, and he definitely influenced my writing big time because of all the critiques he would give me. It was, like, especially during COVID, it was so influential on my work because he was all I had to listen to. So,
Angelo.
Yes, sir.
You've been the poet laureate for Rock Hill for what? 4 or 5 years?
About 2 years, going on close to two. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do with this? I mean, is poetry something you can make a living with, or is it something is you just do for personal enjoyment and satisfaction? I mean, tell me.
Yeah, it's actually all of the above. So I have several friends that are just poets. And that's what they do. A lot of poets are, especially published poets, are professors, or they do something in academia as well, so they might teach. But I have several friends that are like performance poets or spoken word artists that's all they do is perform or write poems and do different events, festivals, and perform at colleges and that kind of thing. So it's definitely, especially in this modern era, like you have social media and, you know, it's definitely a more lucrative thing than you would think about, you know, maybe even 15 years ago about people doing. So, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely an avenue you can make money from. Now, for me, I have a day job, too, right? So it's the Bruce Wayne or the Batman. So it's a 9-to-5, you know, doing that. But after that, I'm doing my poetic work. So
you work over here at Winthrop?
I do, yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
What do you do over at Winthrop?
Director of campus programming, oversee different activities for students. Yeah.
Well, I would think that would be a nice atmosphere to rely upon for your, you know, put food on the table because,
yeah.
I mean, you're in a creative atmosphere. I mean, that's what colleges and university campuses are all about.
Right, for
sure. Creativity.
Absolutely. And I'm actually a Winthrop alum. So when I first started performing poetry publicly was when I was a student. So to me, it's like full circle now, like being back there working in this world. So
Alex, you're writing poetry now.
Yeah.
When you hear Angela over here talking about performing poetry, does that send chill bumps up your arms?
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, because at Governor's School we do all sorts of readings and stuff, so we're putting on our poetry and our writing pretty commonly.
And you have a class of, I mean, how big is your class?
16 kids, I think.
16 kids.
Yes.
Will you get an opportunity to take some of your poetry and, I don't know, they might have an assembly one day where there might be 150 or 200 people out there?
We actually have final year readings for the school.
Like, right.
Everybody has their own, like, the drama performance has a final performance and the dance students have a final, like, show. And so we all have the chance to put all our reading to the school.
Oh, that's great.
So that's kind of something you have to do as part of your curriculum.
Yes.
you can't get out of it.
It's mandatory.
The graduation before the graduation.
Graduation,
right?
Like, yeah. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now we're going to see how quick our learners are here from the world of poetry. We have a slogan here at Substation 2. It's in these white letters. We say it out loud so everybody out there in Radio Land can hear it. It's how we make fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2 at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice,
slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
There you go. Not bad. Back up to these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 4106.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
We're glad to see things are getting back to normal, and it's great to see everyone eating in and us getting a chance to catch up with y'all. This is Charlie Ruffalo. If you don't have time to sit and enjoy your lunch with us, I would suggest you order online at mysubstationii.com, and you can be in and out of the store in under 5 seconds. Just give us enough time to make your order before you arrive. We're open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 10, and we're still able to do catering 7 days a week. Once again, I want to thank you for your support through this pandemic. It means a great deal. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Yes, this is a show which is deep in culture. That's why I'm not usually, no, seriously. We're into poetry today.
Yes.
We have the Youth Poet Laureate for Rock Hill. Her name is Alexandra. We call her Alex Aratus. And we have Angelo Jeter, who is the Poet Laureate for the city of Rock Hill. So, all right, let's start with some basics.
Sure. Let's
How does one become the Poet Laureate?
Right.
Did you compete for this?
It was a competition of sorts, right? So there was an application process. So you had to submit poems. You had to do a resume, have some references. And then there was an interview process, and then at the end of that, they decided that, you know, I guess we like this guy. So,
but I mean,
Poet Laureate, yeah.
I mean, we never had a Poet Laureate before you, did we?
Yeah, actually, there was one. So Amber Shockley was our first Poet Laureate, and she wasn't in a position very long, but she was the first one, and then I came after her. So,
was there a vacancy there for a while?
For a little bit, for a few months, there was a vacancy there. Yeah, but. Well, yeah, I've been there since November of 2019.
2019.
Yeah.
So as the Poet Laureate, do you have certain functions that you're supposed to do? Like, are you supposed to, I don't know, go to a city council meeting and read poetry or be on this talk show or what?
Well, yeah, all the things, right? Yeah, I like where you set that up, man, and you're a pro at this. but seriously, I actually have done that. So part of what you do as Poet Laureate is commemorative poems, should I say.
Yeah.
So the mayor might ask me to read a poem at city council or For an event during Christmasville or et cetera. And so I do those events and activities. And then the second part is whatever your personal passion is. So my passion is really about bringing poetry to the community, and it's about the youth and really getting youth involved.
What was the name of that poem that you read on the show?
Oh.
That had me standing on my ears. That thing was something.
Yeah, and still, I think you're talking about that one. I did for MLK Day.
That's it. Okay. So how does one be? When did this youth poet laureate come about? How'd that come about?
Yeah. So last year I got a grant or a fellowship from the Academy of American Poets, and I was so it's a $50,000 fellowship, and you can use it to do whatever projects. And so one of the projects was creating a youth poet laureate position. And so we went through the Urban Award Organization, which is the National Poet Laureate Program. So Amanda Gorman, who read at the inauguration, was the first National Youth Poet Laureate. And so long story short, we did all that stuff. We got it official. And then there was an application and interview process. Well, just an application process. We chose the top five winners. And then they read at this event during a poetry festival we had in June. And Alex came out victorious, and she did an amazing job.
So time out here.
Yeah.
You should have been here before this show began.
Uh-oh, what did she do?
Right?
What did she do?
Oh, all this razzmatazz about, I don't talk in front of and you already did that. You set me up. Ah, good for
you.
Got you. So now, her duties as a youth poet laureate are what? Similar to yours?
Similar to mine. So if we, as in me or the mayor or anyone from the city, like ask for a specific poem for her to write or do something for an event, that's one part of it. And the other part is to do a reading tour. So she gets to do a reading at each of the library branches of York County Library. That's going to be really cool. So we already talked about some really fun things with that. And then lastly, just any project that is personal to her that she really wants to focus on. So I'll let her elaborate on it, but she has some really great ideas for things we can do.
All right, there's your cue. What are your great ideas?
Set you up.
So right now our idea is we're going to do a body positivity fashion show, because that's one thing. Body positivity is very, like,
explain
important.
That when you to oh, ignorant people like me.
I'm going to. But definitely growing up in the media, it's been hard because, like, stomach sizes are debated and, you know, women are shamed for being too big or too small. And so I want to celebrate all bodies, and everybody is a bikini body. And so we're going to do a body positivity fashion show. And for every model that goes up, we're going to read a poem that's specifically tailored to body positivity.
Isn't that interesting? Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
She's great.
I mean, that's,
she's,
you know,
great.
We're all given a bag of bones here, and they come in different sizes, shapes, and colors.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
right.
That's it.
Right.
So have you been asked by the mayor to do something, you know, like Angelo has, like do a reading? You're going to do this thing at the libraries, right?
Mm-hmm.
When's the first one of those?
When is the first one we scheduled?
In October.
It's tomorrow?
I don't want to put the date out there yet, but in October is when we had the first one.
All right. So you'll come back from the governor's school and do that, right?
Yes, I'll come home on the weekends.
All right.
And do it.
So you'll write a poem about whatever, and then you'll do a reading?
Yes.
Okay. So with all that said, have you figured out, I mean, are your topics always going to be the body positivity? Or are you going to try to do something else?
One of them, I think we're specifically tailoring to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them is going to be specifically, it's going to be an LGBT pride thing that we're going to do to celebrate LGBTQ rights. Gosh, what was the other one? It was...
Let me talk about a lot of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
that
just
was like an hour and a half long meeting.
All right, so now, do you have like a term of office being the poet laureate or the youth poet laureate? I mean, is it a year or two or something that has to be renewed? Or?
Right, yeah. So for poet laureate, it's 2 years, and then for youth poet laureate, it's a year.
All right. Yep. Do you have to apply again and go through an application process, or are you just reappointed?
So they're both application processes. So for me, mine is a little bit different because I was technically like the interim poet laureate. So I get a possibility to have 2 more years or at least another year. But for Alex, it's the 1 year and then you're done. And then she'll probably be off at college doing much better things than working with us anyway. But
done,
so for that, it'll be a whole new process and a whole new person for next year.
So what do you want to say to people out there who may look at us with crossed eyes about what is all, you know, why would one want to be interested in poetry?
Mm.
Now, you got to be, I'm sure you've been asked that question before.
Yeah, yeah, I have.
So how do you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, poetry is all around us. I think the issue is a lot of times we think of poetry as this super deep, super intellectual, four score, 5 years ago, one fish, two fish, you know, thing. But it's not. Poetry is really just talking about whatever it is that you're experiencing. Poetry is a way to express our feelings. And so if you listen, if you ever liked a song on the radio, then you like poetry because songs are poems. And
yeah.
Just poems put the music, right? So poetry is around us. So just embrace it. And find the types of poems and the types of poets that work for you.
And very quickly, tonight there's some type of reception for everybody. What, tell me about that.
There is. So we're doing a welcome reception for Alex. And we also have youth poetry ambassadors as well. So the other finalists who didn't become youth poet laureate but are with the top five. We're going to introduce them and Alex tonight, and they're going to do readings, and we're going to have a really good time. So
good.
Refreshments and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you both. Alex, thank you for being here. Angela, thank you for being here
thank
as well.
You. Appreciate
and
it.
Thanks for all you do with poetry. Yeah, I like it. Pretty interesting. And you did okay, didn't you? You were worried about this program. You hoodooed me at the beginning. I got your number, girl. All right, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now these poet laureates have done so well that we're going to bring them on back again, put them up on the stage. You have an opportunity as well to join in this. These white letters are what we're all going to say together at the count of three. This is how we do business here at Substation 2. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.